You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. Gathering is back. We are here together. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming.
Right.
I'd say and ladies, but...
I mean, Marco is here.
Come on.
Look, I owned a book from earlier. Jeez, what do you want from me?
Did I start already?
How dare you use lady as a pejorative
term.
Yes. This is the episode where we all help Chris figure out what words are.
That's
every episode.
The main theme for our episode this week is the best of the decade, but we are going to start off first with something we have to talk about that's a little bit more sad. And before we get started, I'm Chris.
I'm Russell.
I'm Ben.
I'm Marco.
Spider Mike.
Kyle.
Mike the editor.
Tessa.
Rob.
And Alan.
And we are here to tell you that one of our regular contributors, Patience Robinson Campos, unfortunately has passed away after a long illness. What a way to start a party podcast, huh?
I mean, regular contributors, underselling it. The one who kept Chris sounding funny.
Yeah, she was like, we were like the Stan and Laurel, I think. Stan and Oliver.
Yeah, in the future, Gadgetry's going to be a lot less funny.
Except for Chris had to explain that joke to Patience when he would make it.
That's true.
It doesn't count.
Jesus.
Yeah, Patience was a regular on Deliberations of Doom. Both the Summers brothers are here, who we started that podcast, literally started that podcast with me. And then I found Patience at a bar. I was like, you should come join our podcast. And they were like, who's this bitch?
It's the most Patience.
That's how you guys found me.
Well, we found you at a festival, so it's fine.
Well, yeah,
so if you want to be on our podcast, just hang out at a bar and wait for Chris to discover you.
That might be the most apt descriptor.
It's like Marilyn
of
Monroe
podcasts
outside
ever
of Schwab's drugstore. Only he'll find you at a bar counter. She had one of those people that really almost immediately after meeting her and her husband, I was like, these guys are great. I love them so much. Yeah. I was like, y'all have to come be on the podcast. And Carlos, who's her husband, who's typically taciturn, was like, I'll come. It seems like Patience might be better.
She is the talker in that in that relationship.
He was always here though when we would do our Deliberations of Doom and do our podcasts. We called him Shotlos.
He was our unofficial bartender.
He was our unofficial bartender.
Basically, two of the most lovely people ever.
Yes. Yeah.
And nicely never asked any of us to leave because bartenders can do that, and he never did.
No, he never did. Yeah. Much to
he
his,
never cut any of us off.
Yeah. He is. I wish he could be here tonight. He's still on his way back from Houston. She passed away in Houston at a hospital there, but unfortunately was not able to get a transplant because even though she was on the list, there were just by that point she had too many blood infections, and it was just not possible to do at that point. But she is deeply, deeply missed. She is somebody who I think everybody who ever met her right off the bat was like, I like her. She did. My wife, who's like very like stingy with her affection, was like, the Patience girl's okay.
Like the first time I talked to her, you introduced me as a guy who edited that Bad Batch video, and she just fucking lit up and talked about how much she loved that video and how it was put together. And she would text me after a video would be put out and talk about how much she loved it.
Yeah.
She was a huge supporter of everything that I contributed to.
She always thought that one of us was like Entertainment Weekly or something, or Entertainment Tonight. She would be like, so, like, we're huge, right? Everyone in the world knows about this. Like,
I mean, this was her favorite thing in the world to do. I met her at the second gathering. I was a little bit too drunk because she came in like the second segment to meet her. And then we did the weirdest goddamn thing I've done with one of us that I love, which was Zed Town, where we're shooting zombies with Nerf darts, where basically Chris went off with Harris, and I'm out there following Patience as she's like living her biggest dream she's ever had, getting to shoot zombies.
Oh, you guys.
And mainly with a Nerf gun, but she literally like, she's like, no, here, I'm going to take the camera, you go do zombies. So I'm like, okay. And like after that, she's like, every time we talk, We just had the weirdest conversations about killing zombies and horror movie stuff, which definitely is her, like, modus operandi.
She loved horror movies.
Oh, yeah.
To be clear. Although, not always good ones.
No. Frequently not good ones. Frequently
and she often hated the good ones. Yeah.
But not always. Like, we still look at her askance for Ghost Ship, but hey, that is what it is.
This is my favorite reference of all time.
Her favorite movie was Congo.
Oh, that's right.
Really, in the Congo.
We both love 13 Ghosts. What do you want from us?
I think she was being a bit...
Makes the money hairs on the back of my neck go woo, woo, woo.
I think she's being a bit hyperbolic about the Congo thing just because she knew everybody would have a reaction.
Patience was always a little bit hyperbolic about everything, but that's why we loved her.
Marco, wait, Congo had the diamond lasers in it?
Yes.
Yeah. Those were pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like those diamond lasers.
Marco had the best idea that unfortunately we never got to, which was testing our patience, which was
literally
forcing patience to watch things we knew she was going to hate, but were good movies, and then recording it. Which is honestly the best description of how we enjoyed Patience. It was like, let's give you a hard time for our enjoyment. And she would play along the best. And then screw with us in the best way.
Was just always such a smart ass. But, you know, always... It was never felt malicious.
No, and you know, Patience and I had very little in common in terms of our taste or personalities. But from the very beginning, we just hit it off. And... the whole testing my patience thing was, I remember thinking to myself after I had gone to visit her at the hospital, if, you know, when she gets out of here, I'm going to talk to Chris and we're going to make that happen. Yes. And because honestly...
This is the first I heard of this, to be honest.
No, we talked about it on the gathering.
We had a whole bit about it.
That
was
a while
back.
That doesn't count. I was
and it was and it was true. It was funny because Patience was here and I was... As usual, I was teasing her about her bad taste, and she was teasing me about my taste.
I think I coined the term testing my patience, didn't I, or was it you?
I'd like to think it was me, but I'm not going to...
There was beer involved.
I like terrible puns, so I feel like that might have been...
But I was like, you know what we should do?
That was the sober one, and that was in the room.
Testing my
patience
show.
Was it? Okay.
And honestly, if because I've been thinking about this a lot the past couple days, and all the time I spent with patients, because of all the people on One of Us... she's the one I socialize the most with, off mic as well. Mm. And I've got some stories about that too, but I realize the reason I really wanted to do that is I just wanted an excuse to hang out with patients.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And just watch movies with her. And, you know, it was a win-win scenario. You know, if I got her to go, you know what? This movie that is a considered unassailable classic is actually pretty good. That'd be a win. Or it would be, you know, just her yelling at me like, oh my God, why did you make me watch this boring crap? Who does this guy think he is anyway? Him on that desert and the camel. And, you know, what is this again? Lawrence of Arabia? What is this bullshit? That would have been comedy gold. And I would have gladly taken her abuse because it was just fun to hang out with her.
Yes, but Marco, we'd never do a 4-hour podcast.
No, we never would. So I would just show her a highlights.
I want to ask the Summers brothers, who were the first people outside of, in on One of Us to meet patients outside of me. What was your reaction when you first met her?
Well, we're super excited because you said, oh, I found this woman. She's super into horror movies and, you know, we get that female perspective, and she came in. We just all hit it off immediately. Rob and I were talking the other day about the way we would always do the podcast was you and Phil and Patience would be on one couch, and Rob and I would be on the other couch. And Rob said it was almost this war because Patience was the swing vote. So it was, can we get Patience to agree with the Summers brothers or to agree with
we all wanted to see where she's going to break the vote there. It's like
she was the Florida of podcasts.
She was the hanging Chad.
Oh, God. That's a very apt name, though, all things considered.
Florida woman. That was her.
Her opinions were more nebulous than a hanging chest.
She had the darkest fucking sense of humor of anyone I've ever met to this day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I lived for those moments when we'd be seeing a movie and something just so horrible would happen and it just, like, so dark that, like, people are crying in the theater and she'd go, I love you, bitch.
I was going to say, I mentioned this earlier, like, the last time... before she was in the hospital that we had hung out was at Fantastic Fest, and we went to go see From Dusk Till Dawn with the Benson Interruption. And that's a fine, fun, campy horror movie, but there's that really twisted scene where Tarantino's character like literally like rapes and murders this woman, and Patience is cackling.
Oh my god.
Where a hardened Fantastic Fest horror fan literally turns to her going, "What the fuck?" And I'm just sitting there like, "This is the best. This is exactly why I go to movies with Patience."
It was like almost an autonomic response to not wanting to deal with the actual how horrible this thing is, but to laugh at it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think she actually liked bad things to happen. No. I just think that was how she got it out of her system.
No, I was going through old videos and found one where we did a one-on-one with her, and it was just me talking to her, asking her the 10 questions from what is that?
What day is it? It's Christmas.
Boy,
time to wake up, everybody.
Go get the biggest goose you can find.
of course, you realize the people listening couldn't hear the chime, so they have no idea.
Christmas,
what
I haven't missed it.
It was very Dickensian.
Oh, Tiny Tim is still alive.
You're welcome.
Anyway, Rob, do you have any specific memories?
I mean, mostly what I think about is we did the podcast. We did Deliberation of Doom. It was a horror, deep cut horror podcast. And Patience, so what I loved was she would show up with booze and horror stickers for your book. And I love that like combo. She was the kind of person who would remember that that it was fun and that you should really enjoy it. And also, Patience was not really like an art movie type. So my brother and I can get really pretentious with like some bullshit about Terrence Malick or something. Patience was just like all out on that. Like had no interest in it whatsoever. So we loved to talk about movies. And my other thing that I loved was she would text us in the middle of the night about all the shit in the day that had annoyed her. It'd be like 2 a.m. and she'd be like, "Why are people such fucking idiots?" And that was always great. And I think she was kind of a person who didn't have a lot of tolerance for bullshit, which I loved. And she didn't kind of tolerate your bullshit in the very in the way that people who love you don't tolerate your bullshit, you know, people who know you or understand you. And so it was fun to review movies with her because she would know when we were going to love something and she was going to hate it. And she's like, "I fucking knew you guys were going to like this." So she was great with that. And
she would also play that close to the vest too.
Yeah.
For the shows, or she wouldn't let us know.
No, you'd wait and be like, "Well, what did you think?" And we really would try not to ask her opinion. Yeah. Although sometimes in the middle of the night we'd get along. Text ran of, "Why the fuck are we watching this movie?"
Sometimes you'd get those, and then on the show, she'd be like,
"I
loved it.
I finished it. It was pretty good." So all that was great. And I think she was kind of a whirlwind of life and love. Like Patience was the thing that kind of lit up the room. And so she was in that way. That was what made her feel like part of your family, I think, your friend. And I don't remember her really not liking a person, you know, at least in our circle or whatever.
I don't remember that.
I mean,
either.
She didn't like people. I mean, there was definitely people she didn't like, but...
Well, she texted you.
Wes Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, but it was more like people are idiots, which I think we all feel like. But I think I think that was one of her best qualities, is I felt like she was an inviting, wonderful kind of person. So the minute we started the podcast, I don't really think I even knew her when we did the first episode.
No.
And by the end, I thought, "Man, this chick is all right. Like, we're going to be buddies." Yeah. And so that was... But I think everyone who meets her kind of feels that way.
She was just so damn enthusiastic.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that was good.
Like her... Doo!
Yeah.
Which I'm thinking about... I've got to find a way. I got to talk to my music guy in the Deliberation of the Doom theme, because we're going to do a reunion big episode where we get the current crew and the old crew together to talk about her favorite movies of all time. I want to fuse into it at the very end a cut of her just doing that doom for the end of it. It feels appropriate. It is a permanent theme.
The spoiler alert.
Yeah, that spoiler alert.
Cackles.
But I was saying, like, I'd done that video, and one of the things that with the 10 questions from the actor's studio, and she asked, like, what do you hate, basically? And she was like, "The sound of people or animals in pain." And I asked her about it after the fact. I was like, "You love it in movies. Like, that's totally different. You know, it's like in real life, like the idea of somebody or something being in pain or agony, I just want to stop it and do anything I can to help it."
She had a giant heart. Yeah.
She did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like I said, we were nothing at all alike. And honestly,
you love the sound of people or animals in pain.
I do.
That's actually
it's
a marker
music to my ears. But no, it takes me a while to warm up to people. And with patience, she just like knocked down all of my defenses. It was like, we're going to be friends, whether I knew it or not. I don't think she went out of her way to do that. That was just how she was.
Yeah.
And I got to learn a little bit more about her because, and for people listening, they may not know this about Patience. Patience didn't drive. She relied on ride shares and friends to get around.
Me fucking crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, well, the thing is, a lot of times after recording, I was her ride. And it was convenient because we were both going to the same place.
The Nomad.
The Nomad Bar. Yeah. And where we would wait for her husband, Carlos, to come pick her up. And, you know, and just those trips going from Chris's house to Nomad and the conversations we would have and the chatter. And she is, no kidding, she is exactly off mic the way she was on mic.
Yeah.
That was exactly the kind of conversations we would have. Bickering, cracking each other up, and you know, and but she also had like passionate interest in like food, for example.
She was gonna do the sandwich show the one time.
And I remember being at Nomad, and she was like, me and a friend, we're gonna do a blog or we're gonna do a coffee table book, and we're just gonna recreate recipes from vintage cookbooks, and then we'll do a streamlined version that's more modernized. And I said, why don't you ask Chris if we can do that at the gathering, kind of road test this idea? And she's like, do you think he would do that? I'm like, Chris Cox ain't going to say no to free food.
Nope. Not once.
Though some of that food might have been a better choice.
But she knew some of it wasn't good, but that was it. She had to follow the recipe.
A 1920s recipe for a deviled ham sandwich was the weirdest thing I've ever eaten.
But that was the kind of weird, esoteric, bizarre thing that she loved. Yes. And to see the kind of research she would do, like when this recipe came about, where was it first served, in what era, why were there certain eras that had only women could come into these certain places, and the tea rooms were a way to get around certain prohibition.
And she had a small party at her friend's house where they had prepared all these super elaborate mini finger sandwiches, and it was like, and some of them were really good, and some of them were like, oh my god, what is this?
And I love talking with her about that stuff. Like, she had one that was like the Boston sandwich, or the brown bread. And I literally got to explain to her, I was like, yeah, that's my grandmother grew up in Boston, like the 20s, and she's like, oh yeah, I love that. And me and Paige had like the longest conversation about that, and she's like, I love how passionate she
bought
got
all
that.
That brown bread, like, because it's and then she hated it, right? And she didn't like it.
Really,
and she was trying to give it away to everyone. And I was like,
I have
pretty good, but I don't
want it. We all took cans. And she's like, really? I'm like, yeah, it's actually kind of good.
I ate one. It's good. It's like cut them up in slices and then treat them like pancakes, pour syrup
over
them.
It's like spicy rye bread. It's pretty good.
I was
But I think that's one of the things I loved about Patience was, I think one of the things about the people that are really important in your life is that you can talk to them about any subject. You don't feel the need to edit yourself or not talk about something. And with Patience, like, everything was on the table.
Oh,
whatever it was, you could talk about it and you didn't feel like she wouldn't understand or she wouldn't be interested or she'd be bored. If I talked to her about books, movies, personal stuff, it didn't matter. She was all in all the time. Mm-hmm. And that was one of my favorite things about having a conversation was I never felt a need to not talk about something.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think that's what keeps... that's what keeps the people in your life important. And Patience was so good at that. You know, she was smart. She was a paranormal investigator. I don't think we mentioned
she was
that.
Actually
was totally dope.
And I'm blanking on the name of the show.
English
the,
teacher.
The people who she used to do it with went on to be very successful.
Mm-hmm.
Like who are from, I guess, Arizona, but like went on to have their own show and now make a living off doing paranormal investigation on television stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they're sending like a video and stuff that they're doing in tribute to her. But I was like, that's really cool. And that was how we met.
Mm-hmm.
Was like I overheard her and Carlos talking about the stuff, and I just was at the Nomad. I was like, so I don't even know you guys, but I heard what you were talking about, and this conversation sounds interesting.
Well,
what's
that was
going
my favorite
on?
Thing is that would get busted out to defeat you in Deliberations of Doom was, well, as a former paranormal investigator, I don't even know how to argue with this.
That was her.
I have a film
authority.
Degree.
Pull this out of my back.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say, as far as recording with patients, like I went out of my way. Like Chris will vouch that I already go to any terrible movie that we have on the list.
Oh, you'll go see anything.
But Patience would do the same, and I literally would be one, like, even I was like, I don't know if I want to make time for that, and she was honest, like, no, I want to record with Patience on this one, because one, the cackle, and then two, making her laugh at any podcast, she's one of those people that, as obscure as my joke could get, she would find a, she would understand it and just laugh the hardest out of anyone. She's the one who got me to do Screener Squad, if you listen to our stuff there, where me and her just recorded maybe the worst movie either of us ever saw, and it was one of my favorite things.
I'm curious
things.
To know what that was.
Elves.
Elves.
Yeah, elves. Oh, it is, wouldn't stop talking about for days after.
Literally, we were talking with Justin, who, again, I had just met, and literally Justin's like, well, I guess I'll moderate this one. He didn't believe how bad that movie it was. It just, me and Patience just continuing to talk about the garbage this was the most fun possible, just tearing through the movie, a new one, because it literally is a movie that referenced the terrible Truth or Dare movie and then copied it note for note. And just hearing Patience's vitriol for both Truth or Dare and then this movie, and then somehow hating this movie more, was one of the most enjoyable times I've ever had recording. And just every time with her was like just the perfect amount of references, because she made the joke perfectly. Even if you were like, wait, how do you hate that movie? Was hilarious to us every time.
I love the way she would just come up to people and let them know that she loved them. Yeah, that was a big thing that a lot of people don't do. Oh, yeah. And I saw her doing that and realizing, and made me realize, I need to do that more to tell people in my life when I value them that I value them.
Every time I went, and I said, you know, I would drive her to Nomad a lot. And every time she said goodbye, she would do this. Even the days I didn't drive her there, I just happened to be there at the same time. And immediately you walk by the bar and Patience sees you and waves you over and give you a big hug and just say, I love you, or I adore you. Oh, it's so good to see you. And I'm like, I'm not a touchy-feely guy. I don't get a lot of compliments like that. But, and from other people, I'd be like, eh, you're kind of laying it on pretty thick. But when it came from Patience, you absolutely believed it.
Most definitely.
She was happy to see you and ready to talk about anything you wanted
to
talk
about.
So,
out of curiosity, I know the Summers brothers and I were both on that late night text list from Patience where she would send these weird arbitrary comments. Were you ever?
I never got that privilege.
Okay. I wish. Privilege is a strong word.
Well,
you know. Curse. It's a gift and a curse.
I got to hear it firsthand from her in the car trips. That's where I got. She probably, as soon as she was done complaining to me, got down and texted you guys about it.
Sometimes it would just be arbitrary shit. Like, I just did this convenience store. Look at this picture of this chips that they have.
She sent me some of those on Facebook Messenger. She'd just be like, look, I already told Chris about this one, but it's still pissing me off here. Like, literally, she would phrase it like that. It's like, look, I'm still mad here. I need to tell someone else.
I remember a text exchange with her about a year ago. We were talking about awkward goth phases when we were teens and sending pictures that any pic we could find.
She never broke out of her.
I was going to say, phase?
But she's too surprised to find that even I had my awkward goth phase. She's like, I want to see pictures now.
She was no longer awkward. She never left her goth phase. She just no longer, she ceased to be awkward about it.
She's funny. Like, the longer I got to know her, the more I got to know about her past. And like, at one point she was a model, and it was only in the last year and a half she actually put up those model pictures.
Yeah. A few of them, yeah.
We're like near nude photos and stuff, and I'd be like, I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's like seeing your sister near nude.
Yeah. It was weird.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was like, oh, you still are, but you were like, yeah, I can see how you could have been a model there, like, or taken followed up on that level. And she was so proud of that stuff, but at the same time was kind of embarrassed by it. It was adorable.
I like that she told me she was doling them out. Too many of them.
Yeah. She started trying to like be like, subscribe to one of us. If five of you subscribe, I will post a new one. It's like, even Chris was like, I don't know if I like this, but yes, do that.
She told me right in front of Garlis, her husband's like, well, I do have nude ones too if you want to see them. I'm like, I don't want to see those. No. I was like, that's really uncomfortable. Carlos is just laughing.
Fine.
And if you're listening to this and you think, oh, I should email Chris and the guys over there.
No.
No.
I don't have those.
We will tell you no.
Chris would have deleted those immediately.
I do not have those. I've never seen them. I will say, like, going back to the thing we're talking about with her obsession with ghosts, because she was really into, like, you know, the Paranormal Activity, not the movies, but real life thing. And we would talk about it a lot. And I've always been sort of on the fence about how I feel about it. But I spent a lot of time with her after she was diagnosed in the hospital. And there was that point where I sat and I, like, managed to convince her rest of her family to leave and went, so we should talk about what happens if the worst happens. And she's like, I know what you're going to say. I was like, okay. And she's like, you want me to haunt you.
I was like, yes, I will haunt the shit out of you.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that was actually exactly what I was going to say. I want you to haunt me.
Best
like,
haunting ever.
Like the craziest, most fucked up paranormal activity thing ever. And the night, I got told in the afternoon when she died, and that night I couldn't sleep, partially because I just couldn't stop thinking about it all, and I was so stressed out about it, and partially because I was terrified at any moment the sheets were going to get ripped off the bed, and the pictures are going to start spinning around. I'm like, I kind of want it, and kind of don't. Yeah.
Like, I could have just heard a bunch of bottles. She was like, where's the brown liquor, Chris?
No, that's not even the answer.
All the whiskey's gone.
The answer is she is haunting Chris. It's only though... she's playing with Monkey the rest of the time, so she can't bother him. That's why whenever you can't find Monkey in the room, it's because she's too distracted by the cats. She always was.
I was telling you guys earlier, she's probably like hanging out at her apartment playing with Dean because she always wanted to meet him.
Oh, yeah, she always wanted to meet Dean, and it's one of my biggest regrets that I never brought the dog over.
She did love pets.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Every time one of us would post pictures of Dean, because I take a lot of pictures of his dog, she would always be one of the first to comment on
it. She took in more stray cats than any person should ever.
And even when we visit her in the hospital, she was talking about how she can't wait to get out to meet Dean. And I'm like, we will absolutely make that happen.
Yes.
I think if patients haunted me, it would be to wake me up at 3 a.m. and go, why do they call it? It comes at night. Nothing came at night. We had a huge argument over that film. Like, I kind of liked it. She's like, nothing comes at night. But okay, get past the title, patients. What about the rest of the movie? It doesn't fucking matter.
There's a couple that have sex. Just saying.
Nothing came at night.
She'd be like, The Bad Batch, more like The Bad Movie. But till that, yeah.
Why are we talking about movies that she was generally correct on as opposed to what she was actually wrong about? Come on.
Well, because that's she not was, nearly as fun. She was right about both those things.
So. Ben's just going to be haunted by elves showing up on his elves showing up on your TV.
Oh, no,
late
even
night.
Patience wouldn't do anything referencing that movie. I've never heard her dislike anything more.
Maybe she's.
And I've heard her dislike It Follows for weeks on end.
Maybe she'll just haunt those filmmakers. Your movie's bad and you should feel bad.
I will say, but we touched on some though that when you were visiting her in the hospital, Mike and I visited her in the hospital as well, and even in her condition, she'll still just as razor sharp and much of a smart ass as she's always been.
She was so goddamn funny though.
And it just shows like just what a great person. Like no matter what position she was in, no matter how her health was, she always had a smile on her face. She's always happy to see you and talk to you, and is still just as funny as she's always been.
Yeah,
and
she literally reached out to me like 3 days after she was in the hospital, and they finally gave her a computer.
Yeah,
and she's like, "Why the fuck haven't you been here?" Like, she literally called me on Facebook Messenger. I was like, "Who calls on Facebook Messenger?" She's like, "Why the fuck haven't you been here?" I'm like, "Because I tried to go there, and they said you." She's like, "Oh yeah, like it was coming out of surgery that day." Get over here. I'm like, I'll be there tomorrow. I was like, good. Like, literally, I got there. And she's, like, bitching out whatever doctor she had. And he's like, no. The last guy asked me these same questions. They're on the goddamn pad. What's new? Tell me. I was like, I love this.
She also asked me to do a total, like, draw a pentagram on the floor and everything seance every year on the day of her death if she died. So we're going to be doing that.
All right.
We have a yearly gathering now. Let's do this.
Yeah.
We're ready.
Chris, do we have a budget for black robes? Hey, Chris, did you...
Leave it off.
Just call my ghost. It's fine.
Do you get a password?
Do I get a password? You know, that would have been a good idea.
Nice.
No. It didn't work for Houdini's wife, but, you know,
that's true.
Yeah.
I got to visit her a couple of times in the hospital.
Houdini's wife?
Yeah.
Yes.
She looks great. A woman her age, you'd be amazed. No, but I got to see patients a couple times before they moved her to Houston. And this is really, and I'm just kind of building up to essentially my last memory of patients. And I'm so happy that it was a good one. You know, I went there and I was talking to her and her family and we were having a nice time. And, you know, this was a day where she was actually doing well. She had days where she was doing better. And she looked a little better. She had gained a little weight back. Things were looking positive. And I said, you know, patients, you know, at this rate, you know, you're going to be out of here soon. You know, they're going to move you to Houston. That's a step in the right direction. You know, things are working out. You know, at this rate, you know, they might even cure your bad taste. Even though she was very weak and lying in the bed, I could hear her laughing. And then she just Flip me the bird. And that's really my last good memory of Patience. Her just laughing at my joke, 100%. But flipping me off at the same time.
Patience loved taking the piss more than anyone.
Absolutely. She could give as
except
good
maybe
as she
the
could
Summers
take.
Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. She could take it and she could give it.
You guys love that joke.
I was going to say, was she giving it to you guys mostly? I listened to a lot of those.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. She could call it that. Yeah.
Yeah, but there was a lot
kind of a duel
yeah.
going on there.
It was always a duel. Yeah. Yeah. I think she won most of the time just by being sweet and being patient. But, you know, yeah, yeah. You may not be right, but aww. You're just adorable.
Yeah, it's funny. Of all of the people, like whenever we did Deliberation's Doom, I always thought, we're likable guys. And then immediately when we started doing the podcast, you get the feedback that you were not likable people. I did not agree with you. Or think you were like intelligent or knew what you were doing or whatever.
It was bizarre that we found out we were the villains of the show.
Yeah.
and Patience was obviously the hero.
And everyone, no one had anything bad to say about her. Whether they agreed with her or not.
Never.
They all liked her the best.
You would see comments where people were like, wow, Patience was hysterically wrong on that. She's the best.
Yeah. Yes.
I remember like some of the gatherings she was here for. You'd see some of the comments. There was a couple we tried to do some live streaming from. People were like, oh God, Patience is there. This is the best. It's like the rest of us are here too.
Not cool. Really. Fuck your guys.
No. But who cares? It was Patience.
Every
Patience
time she came
better.
In the room, I would greet everyone else like, hey, Chris, hey, Ben, hey, Rocco. As soon as Patience comes in, I'm like, Patience!
No, literally Patience comes in and all of us are like, Patience! Like, go for the hug.
Somebody was posted like on Facebook saying she was the best of y'all and you guys were like, yeah, she was.
It was
no,
CJ.
No
CJ
argument.
It's all CJ. CJ. Yeah. She was the best part of Deliberations of Doom. No argument.
Well, I was going to say, no one commented on it from us yet, but I mentioned these guys earlier. CJ Lewis was like, yeah, let's do some of the old, you know, podcasts and, you know, take a drink every time Patience cackles. I'm like, look, my body can only take so much.
But then he tried to follow it up with, like, I think Patience had something right about It Follows. I'm like, dude, that's inappropriate.
Look, please, sir, have some respect.
Don't make me speak ill of the dead. I don't want to. I will say, one of my favorite things, and I had the video that we never got a good reason or a good place to post that I wanted to share, is one of my favorite moments with Patience was during Fantastic Fest 2 years ago. They have a tattoo station. She won the lottery.
Oh,
happiest
nice.
Ever seen her. She got a Michael Myers tattoo, which I think both of you know. Yeah. Chris knows, on her ankle, and I filmed the whole thing. And it's just literally us trying to explain the logic of this to these tattoo guys that Fantastic Fest keeps hiring, that they have new people every year that seem to not understand all these weird genre nerds getting tattoos. And my favorite thing is she's getting the tattoo, and he's like, so wait, why are you getting Michael Myers? She goes, I want to remember to always keep chasing my dreams. You know, Michael Myers never stopped going after what he wanted. And I'm like, I love this so much. And Doug Benson comes in, who comes every year to the festival, you know, comedian Doug Benson. And, you know, we're talking the shit with, you're shooting the shit with Doug, and Doug goes like, so wait, which one are you getting? And Patience explains this to him, and she made a comedian laugh his ass off. Like, he is, like, he laughs for a good, like, minute and a half on this
tell me
video.
It was a specific Michael Myers. It was like, what, like, this was the, the fourth film mask, or
this is
the original film.
No,
mask.
It's the original mask because they were showing the
She'd
new one there,
specific.
And they showed the original one. But no, they only had one, but but basically, yeah, she was getting it on her ankle specifically because always put your best foot forward, chasing your dreams. And I'm like, I love this. It's the funniest thing, and it's one of my favorite moments of all time.
God damn it.
I think she was a bigger fan of the other Mike Myers, so I married an axe murderer version.
Oh, no, okay. I mean, except for she hated Halloween
3. She had very strong opinions, and I love that about her, because she would laugh at herself as hard as anybody else would. She would double down and go, no, I'm not kidding, I really mean it, but then she'd be laughing.
I remember we did a recording of, we recorded a commentary for Prometheus, and I'm not kidding, she would multiple times bring this up anytime we were out. It's like, you're the guy who likes Prometheus. I said, God damn it, Patience. I did not say I liked it. I didn't say I love it. I said like something like, well, you know, this moment here is good. Or,
if you like it so much, Marco, why don't you marry it?
That's a good bit of design here. I like this particular beat, which is like saying, you know, I got this really shitty sandwich, but this pickle was nice. You know, there was something good in it, but she was convinced that I love Prometheus and would always give me shit. She's like, oh, ask this guy. He likes Prometheus. Can you believe that? I'm like, I never said that.
Hey, so Carlos, Patience's husband, just got here. He just had to drive back from Houston. And
yeah, it's only 3 hours, but that drive is horrible.
Yes, it is. On a Friday, not right. good.
Talk about a real horror movie.
Yeah, exactly. And then Chris, oh my God, another Chris. Perky Pile, we call you Perky, right?
Perky works much better. It's just easier that way.
Yeah, another one of Patience's very good friends is here as well. So glad to have you on here to talk about her. I'm just like... by the way, I love your t-shirt, Carlos. He's got a Metallica Ride the Lightning t-shirt for the bar he works at, Gourmands. It's like, why doesn't every bar have that shirt?
Right. Smash yeah. sandwiches, I love it.
I've had cash offers for this shirt.
I'm sure.
I mean, that shirt costs, what, $150 essentially? You got to eat that many sandwiches?
You have to eat every single thing on the menu.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's real?
Yeah, it says in the back. You look... It says in the back,
You gotta move Carlos.
I put it on my mouth tour.
Yeah, there's a pretty good list there.
I put it all in my mouth tour.
Oh, I thought it cost over $100 because Lars Ulrich demanded a cut. I mean, that too, I believe.
He's that kind of guy.
But we are having a great time talking about Patience and remembering all the how funny she was. Oh my God, she was just fucking hysterical. She made me laugh so often. Like the Summers brothers and I were talking specifically about how, like, in the middle of the night, she would just text you with random shit. Like, oh my God, can you believe this? And you're like,
my favorite was we would do that all night, and Phil was on the text thread, but he would not look at it. But his wife would say, "Your phone kept lighting up all night." It was all the guys from the deliberations of Doom.
I'm always like, I know you work in bars, but were there points you're like, Patience, put down the phone already?
Yeah, after 5-6 whiskeys, she just did not put the phone down.
What is your, I know you must be thinking about this stuff. Do you have any favorite stories about Patience that you want to talk about?
Oh, geez, if you guys just start going, I just got over a stupid drive. So if you guys start talking, it's going to make things easier. I
wanted to give Carlos a shout out and say that he really loves Patience because he came here and sat through all these fucking long podcasts this year. Like, honestly. Yeah.
He was the one with the real patience.
Yeah, exactly. He really was. I mean. He barely, like, you're not a big horror movie fan, right? Like,
it's a shrug. I mean, she really got me into it, to be honest.
Right. So she loved it, you would watch it because... Because
I'm there. Yeah.
So we would be, again, stoked for Carlos to be some kind of tiebreaker anytime we were on the podcast. And he was like, yeah, it's fine. I sat through it.
I think this is the most Carlos has ever talked on one of these podcasts. He was just in a few minutes he's done here.
Mostly disappointed we didn't review, what was it, Russ? Fast and the Furious movies.
Fast and Furious movies. And then Mask, the cartoon.
Yeah.
Oh my God, someone else remembers that.
No, a collector.
Yeah, I'm a collector.
He's a collector. Oh, so he's goodness. Beyond just, you know, sort of nostalgic. Yeah. He totally digs
it. Oh, you haven't been to their house. Yeah. It's just filled, like, I think my house is filled with weird, niche collectibles. They've got this whole room just that.
Shelf system.
No one has ever loved Mask in the entire world more than Carlos, definitely including the creators.
Yeah, even Kenner Toys didn't love it that
much. Yeah, I was going to say, like, it's fine. Creator Mask is like, what have I done with my life?
Yeah, and we're talking Mask, not the Jim Carrey comic adaptation.
Or the Eric Stoltz chair.
It'd be way weirder.
Mobile Armored Strike Command?
Yes, M-A-S-C.
Command? No, it's Command.
No, it's with a K.
It's with a K?
Yeah, it's with a K.
Oh, that's shady.
Jesus. Look, this.
Know your 80s toys.
It was kind of the knockoff version. It wasn't even Transformers.
It was Transformers / G.I. Joe.
That's Carlos explain. Carlos, please explain that to us.
It was a relief from Transformers because there was actually use to it. They turned into better vehicles instead of some robot with a personality.
Is this like the Kmart
knockoff
or is that GoBots?
No, they had a show.
Yes, that's GoBots.
Okay. GoBots was first. The Kmart knockoff.
We've gone down a rabbit hole that I did not expect.
I'm just trying to stay back and go like, okay, guys.
Hey, I knew if Carlos was here, we're going to talk about Mask. We're fine with that.
I'm just amazed because anytime I was never, I stopped playing with those toys a long time ago.
We get it. You're cool. But you have to rub it in.
I stopped playing with those toys.
You know, but whenever I'd mention it to anybody, they're like, what? Like, no, there was this toy line. It was called Mask. It's like, am I the only one who owned those? And apparently I'm not. Carlos also owned
After
them.
Doing reviews of a He-Man documentary with Marco, I'm not surprised he knows this
Tessa has affirmed that she also likes Mask, which so, blows so
what,
my mind.
What is Mask an acronym for?
Mobile Armored Strike Command.
With a K.
Why did they spell it with a K?
K.
Okay.
Nice.
So it can spell Mask.
So it's literally Carlos, Marco, Tessa, and the creators of Robot Chicken who know what Mask is. Gotcha.
That's it. It's a very small club. Is,
but... So I have a question. What is your favorite movie that Patience introduced you to? That she made
good
you
question.
Sit through.
Ooh, good yeah. question.
Was
it Congo?
Wait, and also, wait, and on that same note.
Least favorite.
Wait, I was about to say, what is your least favorite
movie? She made me hate Congo more.
Is that possible?
Y'all come full circle.
So we were all right, right? On that one, that Congo is terrible.
No, I love Congo.
No, you don't feel that way. No,
I'm defending Congo.
You like the floating rocks? Because, yeah.
So favorite thing that you did, was there a favorite that she made you watch?
You're like, yes.
Well, I mean, I have to think about it because there's plenty of them. I think A Cabin in the Woods really
was
really awesome. Yeah. I really liked that one. So it was just multifaceted, you know. Yeah. It hit all the buttons pretty much.
I remember she would bring you regularly to like films. Can I get a plus one for Carlos? Like, if I can, yeah, sure. Yeah. And yeah. Uh-huh. You'd come and it would be this like hardcore horror film. Like, what'd you think? You'd be like,
I'm like, I am so inept. I have no idea what I thought.
So you're not inept. You were
so
just like,
Congo,
not my thing.
Yeah. So is Congo like on the bottom of your list of the movie Schmitty Washer? What's scraping the bottom?
God,
were you like frustrated? Were you like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about things.
I mean,
did
she really actually sit and rewatch Congo? Because she used to say that, like, I would watch it all the time. I'm like, I'm not sure that I believe you that you would do that.
I had to watch it all the time. Wow. So it's kind of like, you know.
Well, I will say,
like sandpaper.
I loved all the deliberations episodes where she starts with, like, well, this one I didn't get to watch until I was in the car with Carlos coming in, so he had to listen to most of it. And you just going, yeah, I did.
I'm not, yeah, and I wasn't always sure, like, she would always say, I'm not sure whether she would text us this or she would say it on the show, but she would say, yeah, I mostly looked at my phone, so
yeah.
That's how I felt about the movie.
For someone who loved horror so much, she would look away at the gory parts.
Ah.
She would wince, you know, like,
wow.
She would look away. Like,
I don't think, did anyone here know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Things get really, really
and
bad.
And this is someone who would cackle hysterically.
Yeah, we watched
the
a lot of movies
shit.
With patience. I don't think that ever occurred to me.
Yeah, she was like, you think she was like, oh, I can't look away because I'm here with the boys, so I gotta be like,
maybe it could be that, but yeah, anything that was jarring.
Wait,
would you
look away?
I wouldn't look away.
There you go.
I'm like, I'm looking at her, looking like, aren't you the expert in this? You know, I mean,
I always suspected that Patience had a certain love for like cheesy cinema that could was kind of a distance there.
Oh, but, I didn't suspect that.
what I mean is that. But if it got too real, because there are some films that seem like they just want to hurt you. They just want to brutalize you. I don't think she liked that kind
she
of
didn't.
Stuff.
She didn't. Yeah, you're totally right.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, it's fun if she's like, hey, you know, this is silly,
yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah, torture
yes, it's
porn,
bloody, but I don't believe it. Yeah.
No, she wanted to watch Firestarter.
Yeah. You right. know.
Yeah.
Like which that. Is still baffling, but.
No. Like, you know what? You know what's funny was when we were on Deliberations Doom, Russ and I now have this infamous reputation as being huge fans of Ghosts of Mars. And so basically
it was literally everyone versus y'all.
I know. So basically what happened was on the John Carpenter marathon.
Even John Carpenter doesn't like that movie.
John Carpenter is wrong.
So that movie came up.
Welcome back, Summers Brothers.
Yeah. And we defended it as, you know, not a perfect movie, but having things we thought were interesting. And then that ballooned up into the Summers Brothers, like, totally fucking love this movie. It's amazing. Some of that I attribute to Patience.
Yes.
Who I felt sort of conflated it with, why are you guys defending this movie at all? Like, she was really annoyed we had watched it, period. Like, thought it was stupid, and she was irritated it was part of the assignment, and she needed to put her hate somewhere. And I felt like she's
your Congo.
So,
it's your Congo.
We sort of, you know, made it, and then every episode after that, our entire yeah, opinion you guys on anything, like Ghost no matter how academic or well-studied or well-researched or well-defended, was completely illegitimate because we like
Ghost of Mars. You like Ghost of Mars. That's true. And that's what she did with me on Prometheus, because I was like, well, this bit's okay. She's like, you fucking love that movie. I just said one part was okay. But she would complain.
I relate to this. Yes, that's kind
like,
of what happened.
And she would bludgeon you with that forever. She's to like, you're fair, the guy who liked that movie.
To be fair, the evidence does show you that y'all much more actively defended that movie than
My favorite.
No, I'm fine with it. I'll stand with it.
Yeah. The favorite inverse of that was me, Chris, and Matt Frank reviewing The Meg, where Chris hated it, and all three of us loved it. And patients would be like, no, when that guy just got eaten, it was the best thing ever. Chris like,
it was a fun movie. I liked it.
Chris, all right, there you go.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And Chris was like, what is so stupid? And Matt Frank even like bringing up the novel of the book.
Yeah.
And Matt, of course he did. Matt had read like all five novels based
on
the
five book. Novels.
Yes,
Meg?
Yeah. This was all news to me.
And Matt Frank goes through it, and even I'm giving him shit for it, but I'm on his side. And he, and at the end, Patience like. Well, yeah, because it was a good movie, and Chris is just wrong. And I'm like, yes! This is the best moment.
I have since said many times my biggest problem was the fact I was afraid of getting tetanus where we were watching it. I kept thinking about it. It was like, we're sitting in there like, it's a floating thing.
I'm like, isn't there a current?
And there's like, literally like, rebar sticking out of the water around where you are, and you're like, Jesus fuck, like sharp rebar. I'm like, what the fuck? Who planned this goddamn
movie? I just love that Patience was more concerned about the movie than you were, like the seasoned film group. Patience like, no, I was watching the movie. I didn't care about the rebar. And honestly, it was fun and stupid. I was like, see, she gets it. This is what's happening.
Yeah.
She was down for all the events.
Yeah.
You guys went to all events.
She, believe me, there were events I wouldn't have done if not for her going, oh no, we're doing it. Like, okay. Like the zombie one was one I wasn't even going to do. And she was like, you better fucking do it. And like, we're doing it. I'm like,
that looked like a blast.
You didn't go? Did you have to work?
I was working.
Were you working?
No, actually, I think you guys had only a certain amount of people you could bring.
The Nerf zombie thing was like, it was a blast in a sense, but it was kind of like everybody was so much younger and everybody's running. Harris, who was on it, was like all captain, like, let's win this. And I'm just like, I don't give a shit if we
even
win.
Even
Patience
and I are
in the video where you're like, man, I'm going to fucking die out here.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to die, like, not from zombies. Just,
I mean,
like,
I was like, Patience and I were having the best time, but Harris was like, we're going to survive these zombies. We have to go from the left flank and the right flank at the same time. Even Patience and me are like, what the fuck is he doing? There's zombies. You shoot the zombie.
Note to self, don't put Chris on your zombie apocalypse.
He's not going to make it.
I wasn't there, but Chris and I are older. We'd probably be like, look, let's go find a place to hide out, let them kill each other, and then when they've narrowed the numbers down for us, then we'll just pick off whoever's
left.
And then we will rule the
wasteland.
So your plan is, go
to the Winchester, have a pint, and wait for it all to be over. That's your plan.
That's the idea. Let everybody do their jock thing out there trying to kill zombies, and meanwhile, we're just taking canned food and bringing it back to a solid
place. So wait, how did Patience do on the course?
She was good.
I was following Patience directly. She's like, we're going to take this warehouse that nobody else is taking. We're going to go from this side. The other team's going from that side. I was like, Patience, you're not like Harris. She's like, shit, I'm going to shoot some zombies. And she's like, look, you just film it. I'm going to cover you. I'm like, all right. They're not going to shoot me.
She's a bona fide badass in that video.
Yeah.
So she officially hates the way she runs, though. She thinks she runs like a girl. She runs like a girl.
That's the best thing.
You're actually right. She did. She would do this thing where she was kind of like, it was almost like laughably like a girl.
A trot
thing.
Or something like that.
She would do that thing with like her hands.
She ran a lot like Chris. It was weird.
Yeah. I'm not going to deny I run that way as well. Chris Perky, you knew her pretty well, too.
Yeah, I met Carlos and Patience probably about 2009 or so, right after they moved in from into Austin. We were working at a bar called Gourmands. And Carlos and I are both...
Or Opal Divines.
Opal Divines, sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to forget that place. It was
me
not...
Too.
Yeah, me too. I worked
That's
there,
too. But Los and I got along pretty quickly and made friends with Patience. So an average night, we... working and then going down to a Bender Bar, have a couple drinks. I would argue with Patience for 2 or 3 hours. Sure. And then Carlos would say the funniest thing I've ever heard out of nowhere after not speaking for 45 minutes.
Bar's closed?
Yeah. But there was a first time I went over their house,
Carlos missiles.
Yes, absolutely right. The first time I went over their house, it was probably like 3 or 4 in the morning or something like that, and we were watching movies as we usually did. But the first time I went there, she introduced me to a lot of great movies, like Rarick Sports and stuff like that.
So good.
But the first time I went there, we watched a movie called Frozen. Which I'm sure you all know, because it's not a Pixar movie.
It's not the Disney film.
Well, it is a thrilling story about three teenagers sitting in a chair for 90 minutes.
I mean, the three whitest white people decision ever.
Is that the ones on the ski lift?
Yeah, they get stuck in the ski lift.
There's two sisters, and then...
It's two guys and a girl. Remember this very quickly.
It's the guy who played Iceman and X-Men. And one of the guy's girlfriends.
Yes, it is. The guy, he has Iceman.
We're going to go to the ski lift and tell only one person we're going up on the ski lift.
So my first impression of her tasting movies is that this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life. The only part of that movie I thought was worthwhile was long after Patience gave up and went to bed. They were sitting on that damn ski lift, and every time they tried to do something, wolves would come out of nowhere. It was the best part. They had plot-sensitive wolves are the best thing I've ever seen. If it wasn't for the other 123 minutes of that movie, it would have been all right.
Yeah, fair enough. I actually like Frozen, but whatever.
That's your Congo.
Chris, you gotta let it go.
I know. Oh my god, Ben.
Welcome.
Fuck you. Oh. Oh.
Carlos, you're sitting next to him. Murder him.
But do it off mic, so and off, you know, when we stop recording, so there's no evidence.
No weeding content.
The next gathering will not be a tribute to Ben.
We lost Ben, but fuck him. What my favorite Patience moments on all of our videos. We're talking about all the events you guys went to. the difficult to edit but fun to watch Haunts of Austin video.
Oh yeah,
which is so much work editing, but I had so much fun doing it too. But the opening clip, I was so disappointed you didn't have it on footage because it was like such a dark room.
It was completely dark. There was no way to film it.
So I did like the subtitle thing, but I fucking the please be Chris, it's not me, I'm right here. Oh shit! Yeah,
that was one of my favorite Patience moments ever, where I'm like already outside of the haunt area. Like, and I can hear everything inside, and I can hear her going like, oh, someone's putting their hand on my shoulder, please be Chris, be Chris. Like, it's not me. And just hearing her blood-curdling scream of like, oh, that was beautiful. She was like, for somebody who loved horror as much as she did, she was really terrified at haunted houses.
Oh, I could concur on this because she dragged me to the haunted house, and I'm not a haunted house guy.
Yeah, we all dragged you.
Yeah, it was not, but we went there. And she got behind me and, like, clenched my shirt up so much it was, like, a extra small on me. And was just, like, pushing me through the haunted house, like, screaming and laughing. And I was, like, terrified. I was like, what are you? And she's just cackling and pushing me through all the scary stuff.
She was terrified, but she was more
so you were basically me.
You were yeah.
She loved it. She was, like, she knew I was scared, so she was pushing me through it. My shirt was, like
her.
Clenched, like, so tight around me because she had it, like, balled up on my back. It was just kind of, like... puppeting me through the haunted house.
You know, did we ever get you, Summers Brothers, to do one of our haunted house excursions? Because we did many.
No.
No, I didn't think so.
No,
we didn't. Tessa's like, I want to do them in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think noted. It was just you, Patience, Phil, and then at one point Richard was...
Yeah, Richard was there, and then afterwards we did one with Alan and Nick. Mm-hmm. We loved those haunted house excursions, and, like, we're all, like... having a good time, but super creeped out, except for me, who just, like, I've been to 3,000 haunted houses, and I'm like, this is fun. I'm more, like, taking notes, like, going to the owner, going, like, you know, if you did this a little differently, and he's like, uh-huh, fuck off.
And then they smack the notes out of your hand.
Yeah, they're kind of like, okay, thanks, goodbye.
That ties into something I've always had a theory about, which is there are a certain type of person, and Patience was one of these, who just loved horror, and told everyone how much she loved horror. But I also think there are folks who you think, well, if you love horror that much, you're probably like inured to it.
You think
it,
that,
right?
But
they're the ones who are most scared, and yet they're the ones who love that medium more, precisely because it scares them. You know, there's years ago there was a great interview with H.R. Giger talking about like the art that inspired Alien, and you could tell he was creeped out. Like, you designed this stuff, but it's creeping you out just talking about it. He's like, oh, I can't talk about it, it's too awful. And I'm like, but
solid
he had
Giger there.
But he had to get that out of his system.
That's a flawless impression of Giga.
You know, thank you very much. But I think in the case of Patience, the more I talk to her about horror, and the more I'm hearing stories like this, I just thought, you know, she's the person who cackles at the inappropriate moment. You just think, oh, she's just so numb to this. There's no way she's scared of anything anymore. But the contrary is that, you know, she was terrified of these things. And yet she went back over and over and over again. And that says something, I think, about a particular type of fan who, like, yes, this scares me, but that's exactly why I go to it.
Well, she'll be in the into the film, like, not even 14 minutes, and she's like, I already know what's going to want. I know it's going to end. So-and-so, and he's the person that did it.
But no
it
one was more impressed than her when she was wrong.
That's true.
And be like, I'd love it because I wasn't right about that.
Yeah, you know? That's true. Very true.
And as much as she didn't love the actual, like she
good horror films.
Yes. It was the scary. The amount that she loved the over-the-top gore of a horror movie, mm-hmm. if a horror movie went above and beyond to just have the most over-the-top blood
possible. Loved that stuff.
Or just remember to live, that was the most legitimate cackle from her, where she would just not look away. It was like, yeah, here's this dismembered arm and the amount of sugar blood that's on the screen. She's like, this is the best movie I've ever seen. It's like, this is the greatest
stuff. I was saying outside, I should, like, separate her cackle at some point. Find a cackle, because there's got to be one on all these podcasts. Yeah. Just the perfect unexpurgated Patience cackle,
right?
And be like, now available for ringtones.
Actually, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, make the perfect ringtone.
I forget. Was she there for the what was the one that was basically the Clue movie that came out recently?
Knives Out.
No, not Knives Out. The one before that.
Ready or Not.
I think she was there for that one, right?
Yeah, I think she was there for
that one. And that one was like the perfect for her at the end, where the character ends up walking out of the building covered in blood. And this is the happiest scene of walking into a movie going like, that would be me in a movie. I'm like, actually it would. Surviving every terrible thing that happens in a movie because you saw it coming would be you.
One of the things that makes me most sad is that she wasn't the final girl. I feel like if Patience had to die, it should have been the last person to survive and kill a serial killer. Makes me feel terrible. That's not the way. I mean, we should have, like, set something up.
I mean, the Liberation of Doom horror movie is something I'm looking forward to. I've been looking to see Alan and the Summers Brothers being chased down a hallway for a while. Chris, you be the first kill. Where he goes, oh, it's just a prank. Don't worry about it.
I'm definitely the first person to
go. There's got to be a logical explanation for this.
Yeah. Chris is just messing with us for content.
That's the part where, like, the butcher knife goes right through the top of your head.
Yeah, Chris is the pre-credit kill.
Yeah, exactly. I would not survive that.
I don't know what to tell you. I will say, Russ and I were trying to talk, and I remember the one marathon that we did that Patience was really pissed off about was Werewolves. She was pissed that we did it. Yeah. She was mad at
she
every
was
movie
so
we watched.
Loud about it. It was
she was
hysterical.
Like, it was weird that she had picked that genre to be cranky about.
She was,
mad
that we picked that.
I listened to that series today.
Thank you.
Just because I was like, I needed to hear her voice in anticipation of today. I was like, I need to hear Patience again. And so I just randomly picked some stuff off of whatever my preferred streaming service is. And Werewolves. Here's an honest truth. I never listened to a lot of the deliberations of Doom because you guys go spoiler heavy.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of things like, no, I want to watch these movies, but I want to watch them first. And I was like, the werewolf movie? I've seen most of these movies.
Which
is
why...
this is safe.
Yeah, that podcast is largely about, like, most of the stuff is stuff that's been out for a long time.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, we're going deep dive into
spoiler
every detail.
For a 40-year-old movie.
So, yeah. But it was just hilarious for it to start off almost from the beginning with Patience going, I fucking hate werewolf movies. I'm like, who knew? I didn't know that she would hate werewolf movies, and I do remember being...
She ginger snapped.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Stop it.
That was a silver bullet to the heart.
I remember being at Nomad.
I'm howling.
I remember being at Nomad, and I'm like, what are you doing
you're not
now?
Vince, you get a pass.
And she's like, oh,
can we get Alan
Summer
back
Brothers
on the podcast and get Chris to leave?
Me and the Summer Brothers are recording this thing, and, you know, sometimes she was really into it, like, oh, we're doing anthology horror, and it's so fucking great. I love this stuff. But I do remember her going, oh, and we have to do werewolves next week.
Well, because we would, Russ and I and Chris, we'd have this big, like, Google Doc where, you know, it would have, okay, movies, like a theme, and then all the movies we could maybe do. And I remember every week, because Russ loves fucking horror, like werewolf movies.
Yeah.
Was,
you were like, so
what
excited.
What are we doing fucking werewolves? It was my deal. And he kept trying to make deals like, all right, we'll do that, but next month is fucking werewolves. And Patience is like, Jesus. And I don't remember, we made some deal.
She fought it for so
she
long.
She really did. And we made some deal that allowed werewolves to be on. I'm so glad she was. Because nothing made me happier than to watch her be fucking annoyed.
And then we got three episodes out of it.
We got three episodes. We dug into werewolf bullshit.
What was her beef with werewolves?
Yeah. I could not.
I still don't know.
You know what? She never explained it. Yeah.
She just, I think what she loved animals and maybe associated.
And yet,
I just don't think she ever saw a werewolf movie that
yeah,
she liked.
Yeah, I think she thought it was a stupid genre. Right. You can't ever make it interesting or scary.
But I feel like yet ultimately she came down about the same ratio to good to bad, as she always does.
Yeah, some stuff
did,
she liked and some stuff she didn't.
Yeah, I was like, why? Yeah, I was like, why did this bug you so much? Yeah. All right, so we need to wrap up this segment, but I will say, anybody have any last memories, thoughts, things they feel like they have to get out before we finish this? Anyone? Anyone?
We're doing our best of the decade after this.
Yeah.
Patience already won.
Already won.
Yeah. That's true. Agreed. I would say that you should watch scary movies and you should hug your friends because life is short. And Patience was a whirlwind of love and life, and I'm grateful to be her friend and to have known her.
She would do that thing where, like, she's like the bravest of us all. She would be like, no, I'm fine. I'm the scary queen. I'm the final girl. And we'd be watching a movie and something not even all that scary would happen. And she'd be like, oh, grab me by the arm. Or be like, really, Patience? I love that moment.
And then she'd laugh and watch an entire family slaughtered.
I don't get to go to a lot of the movie screens, but the only one I went to and I sat with her during it was we went to go see the fucking Happy Land Murders. Where was it? The Buffett
movie. Oh,
yeah. And I'm like, man, I wish we could have gone to like I could have gone to a horror screen with her because I imagine that would have been just so much more fun.
Yeah. She was one of my favorite, maybe my favorite person to record with because just never knew.
Thanks, Marco.
Yeah, you're okay.
You were never gonna make that.
You were saying that you were listening to.
Wait, Frank is saying something.
You were listening to old podcast of hers of today, and I did the same thing too after I saw your Facebook post. And I listened to when we all recorded Hotel Artemis.
Oh yeah,
and oh my god, the two of you so going at it like someone called it film feud, and it really was. And it's Patience at our most Patience, right. And man, if you ever just want a classic slice of Patience. Listen to that podcast. It was it's so great.
But here's the great thing about her, because you're right. We could fight about these things, and often did, even after we stopped recording. Out of the drive over to Nomad, I'm like, what do you mean you like that movie? Are you kidding? That movie was awful. No, that movie was good. You're the one who said it was good. Look, all I said is it had a couple of good elements. I didn't say I loved it, for fuck's sake. But it was... you never felt it was personal. It was always fun. Mm-hmm. She could give you shit, and you could give her shit back, and she took it and gave it right back to you and laughed about it. Yeah. And it was the most fun thing. There are people you argue with, and you can't stand arguing with them. Arguing with Patience was so
pure
fucking
pleasure.
Fun. Yes. Because she knew she was getting under your skin, and you knew you were doing it to her, and... It was like an unwritten agreement that they're like, we are going to push each other. And as soon as we hit, off on the recording, we're just going to go grab some beers and have a hell of a lot of fun.
I remember we did a screener here with Chris of Papillon, the new version of that.
Oh, yeah. She did not care for that.
It was a 3-hour.
Nobody did. Anyone go
it
for
was
that.
A 3-hour slog through a remake of a movie that
I can't believe she signed up for it.
She didn't even bother to see the original. I've seen the original. Even then, I was like, what the fuck are we doing?
That's a great movie.
And she was like, well, I want to see Charlie Hunnam shirtless. Even she was like, that's not enough to get through this movie. I watched that twice in this movie, and fuck this movie. And it was the most fun.
She said fuck this movie more than anyone who's ever been on this podcast.
Literally, me and Marco watched Slice here, and we're saying, what the fuck are we doing with our lives for like a 90-minute movie on that? This one was like 3 hours of all of us going, this is a bad decision on all of our parts. And it was the most fun. I think we're even Patience was like, I haven't eaten in like 8 hours. I'm going to order food. We got pizza ordered and paused the movie. It was one of my favorite things. We're just listening here going like, this piece is a lot better decision than what we did to watch this movie, to review this movie. And, like, it was
we
the most
have got
fun.
A pizza for Slice. It would have been the best.
It was so much fun to review that with Patience, where she's just like, I had no idea what the original was. I don't think this is bad. It's just, why? I'm like, Patience, you don't even know the original to say why. You're just concerned because you came here for a shirtless Charlie Hunnam and said why. All right, this is a big problem.
Let me just try and wrap this up here and say,
oh, right. We have
first off, we're going to be doing a reunion deliberations of Doom with both crews coming together. We're going to be talking about all Patience's favorite films.
Including Congo.
favorite
especially Congo.
Horror films.
Especially Congo.
Her favorite horror films. Which thankfully almost all of them are
pretty scary.
I'm terrified of that movie.
That's going to be coming soon. But I just want to say, she really ended up being like I remember meeting you, Carlos, and her
right.
at the Nomad, where I think I just overheard y'all talking about ghosts, I think
so, yeah.
Yeah, and I just sat down next to y'all, and y'all were like, who the fuck is this guy? And then we all just kind of hit it off and became fast friends immediately.
Yeah,
and
that's basically what happened.
Yeah, it just went on from there, and she ended up becoming one of the people that I was like, sad I didn't meet her earlier.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
She was just like close to my heart. She's one of those people who, like, if she could tell when something was getting me down on mm-hmm. something, she would be like, what can I do? How can I help?
Right.
She was one of my best friends, and you know that.
I definitely do, yes.
Yeah, like, I loved her to pieces. She was just the best, and I will miss her till the day I die. She was incredible, and I'm only sad that I don't have more eloquent words to say.
Fair enough. She definitely brought energy when there wasn't energy. Like, she livened up every situation, no matter what.
Yeah.
Even if she hated it.
Yeah.
But
better when she hated
it.
Especially when she hated it.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
One of the things when she was at one of the Fantastic Fests that really flattered her is a fan came up to her because they recognized her voice. And really, really got to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome.
And
yeah.
They loved her there too. She won a costume contest.
Right.
Playing Carrie.
Dude, that drives me crazy that I feel uncomfortable posting those
pictures. I designed
pictures.
That dress, by the way.
Because she has her Carrie pictures where she is in total joy and she's covered in blood and she's like just like screaming, celebrating. And they're the best pictures. And I'm like, because of her family who don't get into the horror thing, I'm like, maybe I shouldn't post those pictures.
She stabbed that Michael Myers cake. That picture is. I revisited that a few times in the last few days, and like that was that moment where I was just like, I almost didn't believe it was her until she told me the next day, because it's like, it couldn't be Patience. This is the most perfect picture I've ever seen. She, yeah, it brought me so much joy.
Everybody, cheers to Patience!
Yeah,
cheers to Patience!
I love you, baby.